Good morning. Today's scripture passage is from Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41 and concluding the chapter. And if you don't have a physical Bible with you and you'd like to use one, there are copies available in the back. Or if you're watching online and you don't own a Bible and you would like to have one, please reach out to us and we'll find a way to get one to you. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is God's word.
The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen? Amen. The quotable Jesus is the series we're going to start today. The central figure of history's most quoted book, the Bible, is Jesus of Nazareth. And we're going to be looking at, over the next several months, you know, some of the most famous and the most challenging and confusing of Jesus's sayings. We're going to specifically focus on the Synoptic Gospels. So that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We covered the Gospel of John a few years ago, and even before that, we covered the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, the Beatitudes. So we're not going to look at any of that. We're just going to focus on Matthew, Mark, and Luke for the next several months to look at some of Jesus' most famous and challenging statements. Now, if you're here, if you're not a Christian, or whatever your opinion of the Bible is, I think this is a good time for you. This is an opportunity. And I want to ask you, whatever your opinion of Jesus of Nazareth is, have you studied him? Do you know what he said? Have you looked in detail at the things that he said and did? This could be an enlightening time for you if you come with us and stick with us for a while. Now, if you are a Christian, I would encourage your friends to listen in or even to join us as we explore the sayings of Jesus. And you know, the earliest quote we have of Jesus comes from Luke, the very careful biographer Luke, and this is the famous saying, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And he said it when he was 12 years old. Jesus, the most influential person who ever lived, and by the way, I don't think you can really quantify stuff like that, but I believe it's absolutely true. The most influential person who ever lived, the earliest quote we have of him is at the age of 12. Now, have you noticed this? If you want to really understand why a person does what he does or what she does, and when you think about Jesus, think of his miracles, think of his ministry, think of all the things he said, think of his death, think of his resurrection. When you want to understand what a person is doing, you kind of have to understand what they say. You have to understand how the person understands himself, okay? Because, and as we've talked about this before, identity always determines impact. Identity always determines influence. What you do and how you live, the impact you have, the influence you have on other people, it all comes down to what you think about yourself. And we're going to look at this as it relates to Jesus. The identity of the real Jesus is found in what Jesus said about himself. Who is Jesus? Let's look at what Jesus said. So today we're going to start this series by just observing three things. We're going to observe what Luke said about Jesus. We're gonna look at what Jesus said about Jesus, even here at 12 years old, and we're gonna look at what you say about him. We're gonna observe what Luke said, what Jesus said, and let's think about our own opinion of Jesus today. What did Luke say about the boy, Jesus? Let's make some observations. First, let's make a couple of observations about Mary and Joseph, okay? So one whole day after leaving Jerusalem, the parents realize that their 12-year-old son is missing. A whole day on the road, they realize at the end of the day he's missing. 2 days later, they find him. And they say to him, this is Mary in verse 48 of Luke chapter 2, his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." "Son, really? Really? We have been sick out of our minds for almost 3 days." Now, before you say to yourself, like, what kind of a parent loses their kid for 3 whole days? All right, well, hold on. Scholars say that ancient caravans were so large, they could encompass entire villages on their way 80 miles up to Jerusalem to celebrate the 3 major feasts of Judaism. So entire villages would journey together, would walk together on the ancient roads. So it's very conceivable if Mary and Joseph were walking throughout the day separately from each other, maybe each of them thought, well, he's with the other one. Right? He's with my wife, or he's with my husband. If they were traveling together, it's conceivable that they thought, well, maybe he's with the relatives, or maybe he's up there with the other kids. That's very conceivable. This whole calamity actually sounds, I thought about this week, the whole calamity sounds very familiar. It kind of sounds, oh, I don't know, like a devoted mother. You know, a devoted mother that, I don't know, maybe looks kind of like Catherine O'Hara. You know, realizing in a plane in the air halfway to Europe that her son Kevin was left home alone, right? And she realizes in that moment, thousands of miles away and up in the air, she realizes that with all the bustle and the rush of leaving for the airport with two vans packed with relatives and kids and one nosy neighbor kid, right? "Bring me back something French." This kid in the van gets mistaken for Kevin McAllister. So Mary and Joseph's predicament is very relatable, and how can you blame them? Now, some observations about Jesus. They find him in the temple courts, maybe, we're not sure, but they find him inside the temple vicinity, which was enormous, and people were there all the time. Some people were teaching and listening to the teachers of the law, people bringing their sacrifices, right? Tons of things are going on there, but they find him, and he's with the religious professionals. He's with the scholars. He's with the teachers of the law, listening to them. And they're asking questions, and he's asking questions. This is a formal rabbinical process of question and answer. He's basically respectfully, as a 12-year-old boy, sitting at their feet, hearing from them and listening to them and responding to their questions. And they find the 12-year-old boy there, and they see, not only are they astounded, but it says that everyone was amazed at Jesus' understanding and his answers. First glance, when you read that, you think like this is some child prodigy like Mozart, right? Like this is somebody like writing symphonies at the age of 5 or something like that, right? You're astounded at the boy genius. That's not what's happening, really. It's much more important than that. The emphasis is on the boy's relationship to God the Father. That's what's amazing. The relationship he seems to have with God the Father. They find after 3 days, they find their 12-year-old boy. He's not running the streets chasing dogs and you know, playing with other kids. They don't find him in the arcade, right? Where do they find their 12-year-old son? He's in the temple. He's 12 years old. They find him in the temple. It's before the age of 13, the age of spiritual accountability. They find him at the age of 12 in the temple with the religious leaders. In the temple, sitting at the feet of the teachers who taught the law of God. And I thought, wow, what do we know about the temple and the law of God? Well, the Psalms tell us, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, even faints, for the courts of our God. Psalm 119, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. This is what's so amazing about the 12-year-old boy when his parents find him. What amazes Luke, what Luke's trying to portray, is that the boy understood this, had this nearness, this intimacy with God the Father, and a thirst for the Father's truth. That's what's astounding. Now, those are Luke's observations. That's the biographer's observation of the boy Jesus. What did the boy think himself? What about the boy's self-comprehension? What did Jesus say about himself? So his reply to his parents, this is interesting, verse 49, it's really a rhetorical question, right? They look for him and say, we've been schwitzing for 3 days, son. And his reply to them is, why were you looking for me? This is not a pre-adolescent, get away from me, you're gross. You're embarrassing. That's not what's going on here. Don't think of your 12-year-old right now. As much as I love Zeke Cook, who so willingly stood up here and posed, you know, as the boy Jesus, don't think about Zeke Cook. Don't think about any 12-year-old you know. That's the point of the passage. This isn't any 12-year-old. And he says to his earthly parents, why were you looking for me? Jesus presupposes that Mary and Joseph should have known where to find him. The angel over 12 years, you know, 12 years before this moment, Gabriel, the angel, had told the parents, this would be, the child born would be the Son of God. And I'm quoting that. Emmanuel, God with us. And he goes on, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Now, Luke is not trying to explain to us the doctrine of the Trinity. He's not trying to impress upon us Jesus's eternal divine nature, very God of very God, the same substance of God the Father and God the Spirit, eternally begotten, not created. He's not getting into all of that stuff. All of that's going to come later in the gospel and later in the New Testament and later in church history. All Luke is trying to explain here, there's a hint. You just observe a hint of Jesus's, theologians call it his self-consciousness. He understands that he's the Son of God. We don't understand how. He's 12 years old, but in some sense, he understands. So we don't have all the facts here, but we have enough to be amazed at this boy, as people were in the temple court. So here's an invitation to you all, to me, I'm gonna take it myself. Learn from Jesus, even though you will not always understand him. Learn from him, even though you're not always going to understand him. Two things. First, acknowledge your limited perspective. This is a reality. Our perspective is limited, even as we follow him by faith. Verse 50, his parents did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. This is Mary. Some people, I wouldn't advise it, pray to Mary. And yet, it says right here, she and Joseph did not understand what the 12-year-old boy was saying to them. These are very special parents. These are highly devoted parents, spiritually and faithfully, but they were not all-knowing and they still had much to learn about the boy. And so we also begin with a sense of humility. We still have so much to learn about Jesus, whether Jesus is new to you or whether you've been walking with Jesus for decades. So begin with a sense of humility. Limited perspective, we still have so much to learn. Second thing, acknowledge, on the other hand, God's reliability. Your knowledge and understanding are limited. God is reliable and trustworthy on this journey with Jesus. Verse 51, Mary did this when the angel Gabriel came to her almost 13 years prior, and she does it again. She treasured up all these things in her heart. She doesn't understand what her son's saying. She's absolutely exhausted and distraught from 3 days of not knowing where he was, and yet she treasured up these things in her heart. That illustrates how you can submit to the truth even before you understand the truth. Just like his parents, just like his disciples later on in his life, in his earthly ministry, our comprehension of Jesus grows gradually, not all at once. And that's important for us because we're such an on-tap society, right? We're such a, I need it now, I order it now, I receive it now, I want it now. But faith doesn't usually work that way. We typically have to entrust ourselves in faith to Jesus before we truly understand what he's doing. And the best place to start is what he said. We always have his word. That's the gift. We don't have to look at the sky and, you know, look at the MRI report when we leave the hospital and wonder what is God doing. We have his word. And so as our understanding of Jesus grows gradually, contrasted with our limited capacity for understanding is God's reliability. Jesus's words about himself highlight the fact that God is immutable, meaning he is unchanging in his nature. Now, that doesn't sound exciting to performance-minded, consumeristic people like us. We don't always like our leaders and our teachers and our parents to be the same drab thing again and again. But we absolutely need God to be unchanging in his nature. Do you want someone controlling the universe who decides to change his mind every day? You don't want that. Jesus' words about himself highlight the fact that God's nature is unchanging. Here's what I mean. His identity, who he believes he is, his identity drives his purposes and his plans. His identity drives his actions and his words. While we don't always understand God, we can trust him, and that's the essence of faith. I don't understand, but based on what you have said, I'm going to trust you. Now, if you cannot accept who Jesus is, you won't ultimately understand who you are. This study is going to be so important for us because we ultimately don't know who we are if we don't understand what God says about who we are. If you cannot see that Jesus was more than a prophet, that he was sent from the Father, if you cannot see that, well, then you will not appreciate that he was sent because you needed him to be sent. You needed him desperately. And if you cannot listen to him and hear him and embrace what Jesus said, you will not appreciate the amazing forgiveness and peace and love that God offers to you through Jesus. You will only understand yourself incompletely, imperfectly. You will ultimately understand yourself wrongly. And so we desperately need to listen to the words of Jesus and commit ourselves to trusting in what he said even before we fully understand it. What do you say about Jesus? Think about it. What have you said? What have you thought? What have been your impressions of Jesus? Do they come from other people or your church religious experiences or what you've read other places about what people have said about him? Do you know what he said? Will you learn from Jesus and let him tell you who he is? And it's okay if it takes time. I've been learning my whole life who Jesus is. And I've been following him for decades. It's okay if it takes time. It's even okay if you're interested in Jesus, but you're not certain. about Jesus. That's okay. Let's learn together. You know, his earthly parents and his disciples, it took them years to understand Jesus. We're going to see that in the coming weeks and months. It took them years to understand him. The religious leaders and the politicians and the pride, they never understood him. They still don't understand him. But I actually found John Calvin's words about this passage and Mary's treasuring up all these things in her heart. I found Calvin's words very helpful. "Let us learn from this," he wrote, "to receive with reverence, to lay up in our minds, like the seed which is allowed to remain for some time underground, those mysteries of God which exceed our capacity." Jesus is God's great mystery revealed in the flesh. Jesus is humanity's great need revealed in the flesh. And one of the first things that John's gospel tells us about him is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Learn from Jesus, even though you will not always understand him. The identity of the real Jesus is found in what he said about himself. So the first stretch of our series, The Quotable Jesus, is going to focus on Jesus' own identity. Who he said he what? He was. I think before we get into what he said to other people and what he said about this one and that one and this issue and that issue, we're going to get to a lot of it. What did he say about who he was? We're going to start with his identity because identity determines impact. The fact that the real Jesus is found in what he said about himself is very foundational and comforting to us. It's comforting to know that Jesus knew himself deeply and completely. That is a beautiful gift to say, I am trusting by faith in someone who knew himself completely and deeply. Because what we're saying is, we're not entrusting ourselves to a Savior whose sense of self was imperfect, unstable, always changing, like ours is always changing. Not him. So we can trust him. We can trust this human being who was intimately in step with God the Father. We're going to start there. Let's pray. Our God, would you hold us by the hand and take us as we sit at the feet of your Son. Give us ears to hear what he has said. I pray, Lord, that as we think about what Jesus has said, it would seep deeply into our own understanding of who you are, of what the world is all about, and who we are. Would you please open the eyes of our hearts so that we can understand your Son clearly? Amen.